You're listening to a download from theoutdoorstation.co.uk. Number 469.
Hello and welcome back to the Outdoor Station, and this the first part of a special seven-part series recorded during the 2018 TGO Challenge. The TGO Challenge is a two-week non-competitive long-distance hiking event created to promote fellowship amongst backpackers who walk their own 200-mile route across Scotland, west to east coast. Now, we've covered this event many times on the Outdoor Station, and there are already over 50 podcasts covering different routes, interviews with various participants, and a whole variety of experiences, both good and bad, since my first crossing in 2004. So please pop along to the outdoorstation.co.uk website and use the search box to search for TGO Challenge if you want to know more. This was to be my 10th crossing and also the 10th crossing for Andy Howell as well, and he and Kate were starting at Strathcarran and I was heading for Shiel Bridge. I was on the Isle of Skye the week prior to the event, so I started to make my way towards my start point. Andy had arrived early at Strathcarran along with a few other participants, only to be faced with no food at the inn. Others already there included William from Barbados and Mark, Guetta and Guy from Belgium.
Well, here we are. Another challenge. My 10th and Bob's 10th. And so a very special series of podcasts. Now, we are starting, Kate and I, at Strathcarran, which is one of my favourite starts. So, in putting together my 10th challenge route, I've picked places and little bits of walk that I remember as being particularly pleasing, and also trying to minimise the amount of time at walking we're doing. So, but already the challenge has surprised us, because there are two trains challenges used to get to Strathcarran from Inverness. We took the earlier one, which is the quieter, and a number of us came off, rolled into the hotel to be greeted by the owner, who told us he doesn't have a chef and he doesn't have any food. So, I don't know, in about an hour's time, the next train's going to come in and there's going to be a whole hotel full of hungry challengers. So, one of our intrepid party has hitched a lift to Plockton. He said he hasn't hitched a lift for about 30 years. And he's in regular contact with challenge veteran Russ Mannion by text messages. And if the chip shop is open in Plockton, there's going to be a mass order for fish and chips. So, you know, challengers have to be nothing but inventive and innovative on the challenge. And but I mean, if we can't get that, it just shows the wisdom of having a spare day's food with you, which we have. So we're in Strathcarran now. Oh, there you go. We're in a Dillick campsite, which is the field over the hotel, over the road from the hotel. But the bikers have just gone past. We're in the field because the hotel was full. So at least we haven't paid for the hotel, only to find that there's no food. I suspect that might be an issue later. Anyway, so we're here. It's day minus one and we're in position to start the challenge. So just to give you an idea of what we've done to get here. When we were in Strathcarran before, we took the sleeper up from Birmingham. The last few times we've used the sleeper service, it hasn't been as good. And in all honesty, it's getting very expensive. So the last few times we've come walking in Scotland, we've actually taken 2 days to get up. And yesterday we found the cheap train out of New Street to Inverness. Took that. Arrived in Inverness about 8 o'clock in the evening. And it was cheaper to do that and find a reasonable guest house to stay in than it was to take the sleeper. So anyway, we're here now, and a more pleasant surprise is that the weather forecast has been changing the whole time we've been moving north. And we've just had a little squall of rain while we put up our tent. But by and large, it's now sunny and rather lovely. And it looks as if it's going to stay predominantly sunny with a few showers for the next 4 or 5 days, which will be a great start to the challenge. Anyway, so that's us. Day one, we're here. Everything not quite as we imagined, but there are a load of challenges staying here. So hopefully we'll be able to introduce you to one or two of them, old challenge favourites, and some new heroes as well. There we go. So off we go. And tomorrow morning, it's the start of the challenge proper. Well, we've put our tent up and we've struggled into the bar at the Strathcowan Hotel. There aren't many people here, but we have found William from Barbados, one of my favourite challengers, who has further distance to come than most people to the challenge. So he's got here a day earlier, so he was here last night, which is quite useful because he's told us where to get food. But William, welcome back to the challenge.
Thank you very much, and good to see you both again.
Now, I can't remember whether we've interviewed you before, but I mean, Barbados is quite interesting, isn't it? Because it's quite a tiny island, really. So practicing for the challenge must be quite a challenge. How do you swap the Caribbean to the, you know, the wonderful sunny islands of Scotland?
Well, the highest point in Barbados is about 310 metres above sea level. So you can't practice for the hills unless you walk up and down one hill two or three times. The weather is hot. So the way I look at it, if we do a 3-hour hike in Barbados with a, say, a 10 or 12 kilogram backpack, that is equivalent to doing a 6 or 8 hour hike in Scotland in terms of the way you feel, the energy you burn. Other than that, it's all mental. You just keep going.
Now, it strikes me that when you're practicing for the challenge in Barbados, you might be quite an unusual sight. You know, a man walking around Barbados with a fully loaded backpack. Have people begun to recognise you when you're doing your training?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I hike in certain areas quite often with a backpack, and at certain times of the year, basically March, April, when I'm training. And the people in the area know me. They say, oh, where are you going this year, kind of thing, or when are you leaving? And it is a bit unusual to see a man in Barbados with a backpack, especially loaded with bottles of water and sand.
To make up the weight. So how did you discover the TGO Challenge?
Well, I read an article, and I'm sure that you either wrote it or had something to do with it in the Geographical magazine many years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I wrote Roger Smith, and that year then he wrote back to me right away. I didn't include an email address, and he invited me to come in 2012. Was my first year. And when I finished it, I swore that I will never go on the TGO again. I will never go to Scotland again, and probably not to UK.
Now, I have to say that's not unusual. You know, up until when I did my first challenge, I think up until Tarfside, the hostel there, there was no way I was going to do it again. And I walked into the hostel in Tarfside, and then the kind of camaraderie and the magic washed over me. So that was my kind of epiphany moment when I entered Tarfside. But there must have been a moment on your first challenge where you thought, oh, hang on, this is quite a good thing.
To be honest, not on the challenge. That Sunday, the first Sunday, was what is known now as Hurricane Sunday.
And I remember it well.
Right, the weather was terrible. The weather was out of it. Then I proceeded to fall into a river, a burn. I got totally soaked, right down to my underwear, and had to continue going because I decided not to change at that point because it would have been, everything was wet. And then I got a few blisters, and I finished at Luan Bay. I think that's the right pronunciation.
Yeah.
With a few blisters, and I don't think there's any time on that challenge that I thought I would have returned.
So what made the difference?
You forget the bad parts.
You certainly do forget the bad parts. Yeah.
And I guess looking back at the pictures and then saying to myself, you did it the worst possible way. Let's try and improve. And every year so far, not what I've improved.
Yeah, I have to say, this is my 10th crossing this year. And there comes a point where you edit out the bad bits or the long bits from routes, but it comes a point where you're going across terrain you've been across before and suddenly it all comes flooding back. So you're sitting there planning your route thinking, oh yeah, this is quite an easy day. And then you actually get your feet on the ground and you think, oh, hang on a minute, I remember this bit. It's not so nice after all. So, and this is your third, is
this
it?
This is my fifth.
Fifth now?
And one of my good memories is walking with you and Humphrey on the last day into Stonehaven.
The ice cream shop.
The ice cream shop, definitely. And I would tell you that when I realized that you all knew that area like the back of your hand, I put away my map and compass, and if you were running left me, I would still be in that forest.
To be fair, it's got a bad reputation for tracks, but these days with GPS systems on your phone and stuff and maps, it's pretty easy to see where you are. Right. Yeah,
still navigate by paper and compass. I have not upgraded to a GPS.
No, well, we're trying to navigate by maps because it saves on battery strength. One of the things I want to talk about before we let you finish your beer and enjoy yourself is. A lot of people on the challenge, there's a whole culture around gear, you know, buying gear, lightweight gear. You don't have the luxury of choosing all this stuff, do you? Because you basically have to buy what there is when you get to London.
That's my biggest problem with gear. I have to buy, if I pass through London, an hour or two in London, to buy a fleece or buy a pants or a pair. Hopefully not a pair of shoes, but whatever. And what have I researched online beforehand? What have I read on magazines? When I get to the shop, it's not there. So you got to buy something that is... Actually, what I've decided to do is to buy after the challenge. When I finish the challenge, I would know what failed, what didn't work, what wanted to be improved on. And I have 2 days in London afterwards, and I think I would use that time to prepare for next year.
Anyway, look, I'll leave you to it, and we'll meet along the way, probably in Ballater, but William, have a great journey.
Thank you very much, and both of you all, good luck.
We discovered the TGO, or I discovered the TGO, to be honest, reading a blog from two Dutch guys. In 2012 or something like that, Willem Fox and Lane Bakker. And it was, after reading it, I was so enthusiastic. I told my friends here, we have to do that because it must be really amazing, fantastic, and nice, beautiful landscapes, people socializing, and so on. And they were, immediately they said, okay, let's do it. And so we did it for the first time in 2013, 1-3, and from Shieldbridge to St. Cyrus. We did it for the second time last year, from Stratcairn to Stonehaven. Mm-hmm. And in September, I said to them, yes, we have to do it a third time. Jamais deux sans trois. And we are here for the third time. So Stratcairn again, but this time another way to Inverness, uh-huh, more in the north, and then back to the Cairngorms, to Braemar, and to St. Cyrus, like the first time. That's the way we do it.
So, Scotland has, it's captured your heart, yeah?
Yes, I'm impressed by the wilderness from all this country. That's what I like. That's why I come here.
I think the best part of it is camping wild in the wilderness, you know, on a nice river, and you wake up in the morning and there's just deer, there's nothing there. Yeah, and the Americans love it because a lot of the long distance trails in America are route marked.
Yes.
So going off and over the heather and over the mountains is a bit of a challenge. Mm-hmm. It's great fun. It's, yeah, yeah.
It's really great.
So have you met lots of friends on this event?
Yes.
Willem Fox and Leendert Bakker, we met in 2013. Last year, I don't think so, because Willem was supposed to do it, but some problems in
I think he's here this year, I think.
This year he is here, but starting from another starting point. Maybe we will meet him.
Yeah, he's quite a cool, as we would say, quite a cool dude.
Yeah.
So, this year, starting at Strathcowan and ending at St. Cyrus.
Yes, correct.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll meet along the way,
yes.
But if not, we'll meet again in Montrose.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
I hope so.
yeah, I hope so.
Braemar, maybe?
Yeah. I might miss Braemar this year. It's on my route, but I've got a feeling I might go straight to Ballatoth around the Cairngorms.
Yeah.
Okay, so we look forward to meeting you in Montrose. It's good to know you come back now for the third year. Is there going to be a fourth, a fifth?
Yes.
It's not so far from Belgium, so and May it seems to be a good time.
May is the best weather in Scotland. Yes. But the first time, when I did my first TGO challenge, this is my 10th this year.
This is the 10th?
Yeah, when I did my first, all the way across, there was no way I was going to do it again. Until I got to Taffside, the hostel there, and I met other people. And
then you said... I'll do it.
I understand what it's about.
Yeah.
But I was a day ahead of most people first. I didn't really meet anybody.
So lonely.
Well, that's not so bad. Anyway, we'll meet again, maybe in Montrose, maybe in Braemar, but good to meet you.
Thank you.
Have a nice trip. Have a nice walk.
Also with us in the Strathcowan Hotel today is Ian Cottrell, who is a long-time challenger, a great guy, but also a very serious photographer. Welcome, Ian.
Thank you.
Now, you pull the face then, but you are. You take your photography very seriously, don't you?
Yeah. I carry quite a bit of kit in the challenge, photographic kit, yeah.
So this year, are you still on the Fuji system?
No, I've moved to Olympus, using an Olympus EM1 Mark II.
So that's the three microphones. How do you find that? Because you were a great advocate of the Fuji system before.
The quality from the Fuji was fantastic. My only reservations about it is the weatherproofing isn't as good as I would like, and the cameras and lenses they say are weatherproof, and they didn't have quite the range of lenses for, not so much for the challenge stuff, but for my other photographic interests.
And you're finding the quality of the Micro 3 quarters fine?
Micro 4 thirds is great, yep, no problem at all. You don't want to push the ISO too high on it, but most of what I do, there's never any call for that anyway.
And are you carrying a tripod this year?
Yep, as always. Camera, three lenses, tripod, motorized base for the tripod, for the head of the tripod.
Yeah, so it helps having Olympus gear, which is reasonably light, doesn't it? So when you're planning the challenge, most of us are planning routes for walking. Are you planning your route with an eye to photography as well?
I wouldn't say I plan it with an eye for photography, but when I'm planning it, you get certain camp spots you think, oh, now that might be good if we get a clear night and so on. And I do things like look at what the phase of the moon's going to be at different times during the challenge.
I did that once on one challenge on my own. Planned the sites, looked up the path of the sun in advance, camera tripod. And it was the year that we had Hurricane Sunday. It was just absolutely terrible. I think I used the tripod once during the whole time. But it's nice to see Olympus being back again. Back in the days of film, I used to love Olympus cameras, and they were great. It's just nice to see them being used again in the digital age.
Well, I think the thing is that mirrorless is really taking off. For things like mountain photography, less and less people are using SLRs. Quite simply because of the size and weight advantages of mirrorless, be it the Sony full frames, the Fuji APS-Cs, or the Olympus and Panasonic Micro Four Thirds. They're becoming more and more popular, quite simply because it means you can carry more for the same amount of weight.
Are you still involved in the photographic industry? You were running courses or things at one point, weren't you?
Yeah, so I worked for a company called Merchant City Cameras. That's Glasgow's only independent photographic dealer, and I run training courses for them as well as working in the shop.
Now, the Sony system you mentioned there earlier is an extraordinary system, really. I mean, so long as you move away from the kind of DSLR format, is it the A3000 range? Seem to be extraordinarily lightweight and good.
Well, there's the A7s, the ones most people are interested in, which are full-frame cameras. The only downside is the lenses are big and heavy because they're full-frame lenses. So you're still carrying, well, it's less weight than a full-frame SLR. It's still quite considerably more weight than an APS-C or a Micro Four Thirds.
So the Four Thirds system is going to be lighter because every component is lighter.
Yeah, basically. It's not just about the body, it's the lenses as well.
Well, I always look forward to looking at your photographs when you come back from the challenge, so good luck. Tell us a bit about the route.
Basically going from Strathcarran, heading towards Struy over 3 days, over quite a few hills. Then through to Drummer's Rockets, boat across Loch Ness, over Glen Mazarin, and then cutting a bit north to Boatgarten, and then Tomintoul, and over the hills to the east of Glen Anne, and out to Braemar. And then it's from...
So, how many challenges is this?
Assuming I complete it, this will be my 17th.
17, so only 3 off becoming a super legend.
I'm not thinking about that.
Well, Ian, have a good trip across. I always look forward to looking at your photographs when we get back, and hope to see you along the way.
This podcast is brought to you by backpackinglight.co.uk, a small UK independent helping you save weight and enjoy outdoor life more.
See you later.
Morning, morning.
Morning.
Yeah, it's not a bad start, is it?
It's 9:30 on Friday, the 11th of May, 2018, and I'm standing outside the Kintail Lodge Hotel at Shield Bridge, overlooking a loch on a beautiful, calm, spring, sunny morning. Not anything like the last week, if you heard the previous podcasts, where we've been up in Skye and the weather has been absolutely atrocious. But this is the start of the TGO challenge and the sign out point for probably best part of 30 or so challengers, all of whom are now gathering and dispersing from the Kintail Lodge Hotel in their ones and twos as they leave to set off on the TGO challenge, which is the 200 miles, give or take, walk from the west to the east coast. The forecast today is something that I've been keeping an eye on while we've been on Skye, it's been lousy. Here it's sort of changeable but fairly pleasant, and it certainly looks that way at the moment, with the rain due in probably, I think the percentage increased around 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, but like anything, it always changes. But it's been nice to see some old faces and names that I recognize on the list at the sign out point. I had a couple of chats with people, But 9:30 now, everybody's pretty well set off apart from this few stragglers, one of which is me. People seem to have stayed either in the hotel or down at the campsite or wild camped, but obviously must have gathered together last night and had a few drinks, I'm sure. But like most people, when they're starting the challenge, they come straight up from wherever they live and they're keen to get going. So most people hurtle off. And I have to say, talking to Lee, who I'll be meeting later on, when I did that Cape Wrath walk with him before he started the TGO, you do start with a slightly different attitude. I'm much more laissez-faire today, and I'm just going to plod on. My route today is up the Glen. Nice easy walk to Altbeath YHA. I don't intend to stay there, but I might call in for a cuppa and no doubt a chat and maybe an interview or two, you never know, before I carry on and find a spot further down the Glen. So as the day progresses, I'll certainly be back and record various bits and to see how we progress. Now, Andy and Kate are on their 10th crossing, or Andy's 10th crossing as well. It's my 10th crossing. 10 times I've done this now. Never again, as Tony would say. And he also is recording various bits to put on the podcast. And so you'll be hearing from Andy and you'll be hearing from me in various ways over the period of the next 2 weeks. And with that note, I can't think of anything else to add apart from the wind has changed direction, so I just turn around and I better head off. So I will catch you a bit later after a nice gentle start walking from Shiel Bridge over to the east coast somewhere near Montrose.
Well, it's the day of our first walk, morning of our first walk, and last night wasn't so bad after all at the Strathcown Hotel. We didn't have any food, but Richard and Rosie volunteered to hitch to Plockton, and while they were there, we kept them updated with a stream of text message requests for fish and chips, which they coordinated with the chip shop to cook just in time to jump back on the train from Plockton to Strathcown. And we all sat down in the restaurant to eat our fish and chips and takeaway pizzas. So first prize for the best challenges of the year goes to Richard and Rosie at Strathcarran. For those people who are listening to this, thinking about planning next future, I did have a chat to the owner who said he was in the process of leasing the hotel to somebody else because it had all got too much for him. So hopefully, if you come back next year, food will be here again. So we turn to today's walk, and we are heading out, just have a look at that map, towards Bendranaig Lodge in the Atterdale Forest. Now that's a very famous bothy, which we've been to before, beautifully kept by this state, and it even has a flushing toilet. And then, one way or another, we're going to be making our way either across marshy ground to a track that's going to lead us into Glen Affric, or if that's too boggy, we're going to take the long dog leg up to Pate Lodge and back, which either way it shouldn't be too bad today. Yesterday we had a really lovely day for weather, a few rain showers, but a lot of sun. And today, last night was dry, and today it looks like starting dry. So, all being well, we should be in a decent state at the end of the day. I can just hear the train coming through. Morning train here. So we're going to pack up now, and there will be breakfast at the Strathcown Hotel, so we're going to pack up our tent and go and join our colleagues or comrades there, and we'll speak to you somewhere along the trail today. If not, we'll speak to you right at the very end.
It's just turned 2 o'clock now on the first day, and I'm probably two-thirds of the way along the Glen to Altbeath Youth Hostel, which I understand from people that tried to book
that it is fully booked, which is a shame because there are a few people I've met this morning that I think would really do with a good rest. It's a lovely glen, and apart from quite a strong headwind, very strong headwind at times, it's been a lovely walk, great weather conditions, and looking behind me, I do feel the rain is coming in. It's forecast to start any time now, between now and 3 o'clock, and the clouds are threatening, but I don't feel any raindrops as yet. I've probably seen about 20 different challengers, had a short conversation with each of them, but unfortunately because of the wind I was unable to do any sort of more detailed interviews. Oh, the wind's now gone behind me, which is a much more pleasant change. But we've had a group of six from Canada who I really feel for at the moment. I can't quite work out the relationship, but it seems to be for... bear with me a second. Sort of four people in there, I would guess 30s or so, and two slightly older, could be parents, I guess. But they only flew in yesterday. So they flew in yesterday, raced to the shop, and bought quite a lot of fresh food. And as we all know, lovely as it is to eat that on the trail, it takes up an awful lot of space and weight. So I'm really looking forward to having a chat with them at some stage during the trip, because it sounds like they've got experience of walking in Canada and a lovely area over there, and it's also good to get somebody's first impression. Then I met a Swede, and she was going at her own pace, struggling a bit I think with the headwind like most people. I've met a guy from Switzerland I walked with for a bit, a group of three Americans who are definitely well prepared and experienced in the way of light, all things lightweight, and so they're sorted. And then probably a dozen or so old friends, contacts, people from the Backpackers Club, podcast fans have all said hello as they've passed by or I've passed them. But it's been a really good day compared to the days that Rose and I had over on Sky. If you listen to this, Rose, sorry, but I've had sunshine a lot of the day and just a cool breeze, which makes for good walking. As I say, sadly, due to the wind, I haven't been able to interview anybody formally. And really, the first day, most people are so keen to get out of the starting blocks, it's very, very difficult to chat with them. They've got other things on their mind, particularly if it's their first time and they're apprehensive about what they've got to face. Well, I can't see Old Beath just yet, but I think another kilometre I should be on the riser, hopefully, looking down on it. And I would expect when I arrive there to have lots of people sitting around drinking tea and sharing their experiences. My plan after having a bit of a break there is to carry on down the glen and find somewhere to camp, hopefully at a reasonable time, and hopefully, I say hopefully, out of the rain. So I'll get back to you later. My, how things have changed.
But how long since you went here?
Well, I've been here probably about 3 or 4 times, I think, in the last 15 years.
Yeah. Since I've been here?
No, I don't think so.
That's the difference,
you see. Oh, yeah. How long have you been here?
Five years.
Oh, gosh. It's some time then. Oh, yeah.
after some very welcome refreshments and a warm welcome too at Altbeath Youth Hostel, I continued walking along the trail with Vitalis Hirschmann from Switzerland. Now, he was stopping on a regular basis along the way to capture photographs for his blog site, thisisnot.photography. And links to it, of course, will be in the show notes, where you'll find some excellent pictures recording his two-week challenge.
Vitalis, your first day. I think you've been really enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a beautiful landscape. Until now, it reminds me a little bit to Swiss Alpine hiking, which I do a lot. But it's mainly with the Scottish touch, so it's something else anyway. But I like it.
And how did you hear about the challenge?
I came over it by looking for my first ultralight shelter. So I was on the Tarp Tent website, and Henry Shires describes his crossing. So that's where I first heard of the existence of this beautiful challenge.
Okay, and you've got a fair amount of experience in the Swiss Alps. What are you expecting from the challenge?
So, well, what I mainly do is more higher up alpine hiking, climbing normally, as it's right in front of my door. And yeah, this is more like you do a very long ascent and descent in one day, maybe. So it's more peak performance. And I'm less this 2 weeks of walking big distances. So that will be a first for me. I just did once 1 week in Yellowstone, but I'm confident.
And has everybody been friendly with you that you've met since you started? Well, I mean, the gathering yesterday.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I didn't expect Scottish people to be mean with Swiss ones. So, no, really nice. I like the atmosphere amongst challengers, and just had a very friendly welcome from the youth hostel, Altbeath. So I enjoyed.
Well, tonight it looks like we're both going to be camping, wild camping, at the end of the African Tail Trail, or not the end of it, but on it. And I can see a few people ahead of us just starting to go down towards the lock. Yeah. Is there any equipment that you haven't tested as yet that's going to be put to the test on this particular event?
No, actually, nothing. I've been out testing a bit everything. I mean, kind of a bit of equipment I use since I started this outdoor wild camping things in Switzerland and abroad. But certainly I bought some lighter or more weather-resistant equipment for this challenge. But I all tested it in more or less tough conditions. I never had high wind with my new tent, for example.
Which is the?
The Notch from Tarp Tent. So the old version, not the 2018 version. And but I used it in snow, so everything with this related temperatures, I don't expect to be surprised here.
Okay, good. And finally, food. I presume you've brought with you a big chunk of Swiss cheese.
That was a hard one to leave my cheese behind. So no fondue.
Okay.
I didn't even take dry meat, which we have some good supply. I went kind of minimalistic for the daily supply. But I invested a bit more time in dehydrating vegetables and rice and another food.
So you've got a food dehydrator. So have you cooked this food and then dehydrated it, or dehydrated it raw?
Both. So the rice, basically, I cooked it.
Uh-huh.
Before dehydrating. but I got couscous and pasta, which are not pre-cooked, but they kind of cook very fast, so okay. That's okay.
Okay, well, if we camp together, then we'll have to have a taste test, because sure. I've got some dehydrated food that I've cooked and dehydrated, so okay. we'll see how we get on. But it looks like we're getting somewhere close to a camping spot, so this looks good.
So tonight's menu is tomato soup with croutons to start, followed by fish pie and rice. So it's 6:30 and Vitalis and I have set up camp at the first area you come to across the bridge, actually, and there's a handful of people here. Some names I know, some names I don't just yet. And we've all set up camp. The rain has been very light. There's occasional gusts of wind, which have been a bit of a shock, but everything else seems fairly pleasant. Water out the stream, and we're all going through all the motions of cooking our particular meals before perhaps sitting round and comparing notes about outdoor things in a while. On the whole, well, actually, compared to last week, it's been a fantastic day, but on the whole, actually, been a good day. Met some interesting people. The weather has been fairly kind, occasional rain, but very, very light. More annoying because you put your waterproofs on and then you start to overheat in the waterproofs. It's that sort of annoying rain. Do you take them off? Do you leave them on? If you take them off, will it get heavier? If you leave them on, you're still sweaty and all that sort of thing. But anyway, everybody seems to be happy. End of the first day, of course. Most people are on a high. Adrenaline's kept them going. And so it's the next couple of days, really, when the reality of it all will start to kick in. So, once again, I hope to chat to people in a while, perhaps this evening, certainly over the next couple of days. And keep the podcast topped up. So what I say, 6:30 tonight. I wonder where Andy and Kate are. Hopefully they'll be recording something I can add to this. In the meantime, I'm going to enjoy my tomato and crouton soup.
Well, here we are at the end of our first day. And we've had really quite a splendid day in terms of the challenge. It's been very windy all day, but much of the day we've been walking in sunshine. So a little group of us headed off into the mountains. One of the nice things about Strathcowan Start is you're very quickly into a bit of high moorland walking. And then down into the Atterdale Forest and Bendraneg Lodge, which is the famous Bothy. Well, it's famous because it had a flushing toilet, though the flush wasn't working very well when we were there. However, a few of us were quite happily ensconced there. And then Tom from the States, William from Barbados, Kate and I, then walked up towards Pate Lodge. And I guess we are now camped just a little bit short of Pate Lodge, so we should be there in order to turn around and come back again on the other side of the glen reasonably early on tomorrow morning. So not a bad day's first walking. Only one mishap. I fell over and bashed my knee at one point, which protested a bit after that. But it only protested going downhill, which is interesting. It didn't protest too much going uphill on the flat, so I'm hoping that doesn't seize up during the night. And now we're just lying in our camp, ready to prepare our evening meal. And a bit of rain has come in. It's nothing heavy, it's just a bit of Scotch mist, really. So if you have the rain during the night and we wake up to a pretty decent morning, which I think the forecast is tomorrow, then we should have a second day of glorious walking. Kate, what are your reflections on the day?
Well, it always takes a little while to get into the rhythm of the challenge, I find. The first couple of hours, my head is still in my normal everyday life, and it takes a while to get to the point where you just settle into the fact that this really is it. It's just going to be walking one foot in front of the other from now on. But by the afternoon, it was fabulous, and we walked through some stunning countryside with some amazing views. It's such a privilege to be able to see the mountains and the with the loch below, and just things that are impossible to see by road or any other way. You have to walk into the wilderness to see it. So, yeah, I mean, it's great. And tonight's little camp is quite cosy, and we managed to stop just before the rain came in too hard, which was a good move. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to dinner and getting on with day two.
Yeah, it's you never really cease to be thrilled by the views here, the mountain views. This is the most spectacular scenery that we've seen. Although, you know, we've seen a lot of high mountains. We've seen some interesting watercourses already, but of course we're from Birmingham, you know, so the scenery is pretty novel for us. William is from Barbados, the scenery and the weather is very different from him, and Tom we've been walking from is from Minneapolis, and it's pretty flat there, I think, as well. He was telling us that only 3 weeks ago he was shoveling 12 feet of snow off his driveway, so he's, I think, hoping he doesn't see much more on this challenge. So tomorrow, Tom's actually gone on a bit further than we have, so he's taking a different route. He's nipping up to Pate Lodge and then nipping over the Beelach and into Strathfour and down to Cannock. We are heading south for Glen Affric, as is William, so she'll probably walk with him a fair amount of the day. We're booked into the youth hostel, but I guess the judgment we're going to have to make when we get to Glen Affric is, do we want to go down a bit and take a bit of time off tomorrow, or do we want to actually go up a little bit back to the youth hostel? So I suppose it depends on how the legs are. One of the problems with doing that is you can't really phone the Glen Affric youth hostel, because A, we might not have a signal, and B, they don't either. So I don't know whether they would just see that as a kind of, you know, no-show booking, or whether they'd suddenly panic and call out the mountain rescue. These things you have to think about when you're in the mountains. I speak of somebody a couple of years ago when we couldn't make a B&B because of a storm. The B&B area, the B&B owner called out the mountain rescue. This was not on the challenge. And we were supposed to be walking through to a B&B near, I don't know, Loch Lee somewhere, I think. And we ended up in Glenfinnan, switching on our mobile phones. And immediately the phone rang, and it was the police who were checking we were still alive and ordering us to go straight to the nearest police station in Fort William and report ourselves not dead, which was really quite good of them to do that. And of course, they wouldn't have sent out mountain rescue for us, but if they'd have found two bodies stranded in the middle of nowhere, they'd have known who they were. Anyway, on that rather lovely, cheerful note, we'll leave you to it. And, you know, the eternal optimism of the long-distance walker is that, you know, tomorrow we're going to wake up in glorious weather and we're going to have another glorious day's walk up to Pate Lodge, back again down the other side, towards the Iron Lodge area, then over the delta at Loch Mullerdock, up and over the Beelach into Glen Affric. Should be a great day's walking if the weather holds, which we're hopeful it's going to hold for 2 or 3 days. So we'll leave you now, and we'll speak to you tomorrow.
This brings us to the end of part one.
Part 2 will be along shortly. But if you want to hear more about the TGO Challenge, please visit the outdoorstation.co.uk website and search there. Of course, you'll find more information, photographs and links, etc. over on the show notes for each podcast. And I hope to release a video of the event later in the year. To enter the event itself, you'll need to obtain a copy of the October edition of TGO magazine for the full details. So until next time, folks, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear or see more from our extensive free library, please visit theoutdoorsstation.co.uk.